This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com. So let's get over to Alice. Thank you, Alice, so much for being here. For over 14 years we've been doing this, and it's just astounding to me the success we have. And a lot of people love the update that you always bring with a legislative update. So what you got for us this week?
Well, interestingly enough, it plays off of what we've just been talking about, but I'll start with my first bit of news and then looking forward to getting you and Jack back in on the conversation on the housing aspect of the recovery. But my one quick note is last week I talked about FHA mortgagee letter 22-09 changes to the essentially setting up a COVID view of income and being able to adjust how we look at income calculations. If the borrower had a gap in their earnings due to the COVID scenario through 2020 and 2021. So as we kept talking through this, I just wanted to add some clarification. Certainly we're getting to a point where we won't have the 2020 tax returns in the picture as much as we get further into 2022, but they still do come into play in some loans. But there definitely are some positives. So take the time to look at that mortgagee letter to be able to pick up on being able to not have to average in that COVID period. You can look at earnings before COVID and after COVID and use the lower of the two in many of FHA's income categories. So it's definitely a mortgagee letter worth reading. The application case number date is going to drive whether you can use these new rules, and that will be effective for September 5th. So just a quick follow-up from last week's announcement about that mortgagee letter. The second thing, David, as I was thinking about people in the news this week a lot, was rates are the highest they've been in 13 years. And I thought, well, what did we look like 13 years ago in housing and house price appreciation, which is such a factor in the inflation today? For those who need a reminder, you can go to the Federal Housing Finance Agency's House Price Index. So just Google FHFA, HPI, and then on the left-hand side, go down to tools and click on the county heat map. And if you go back to 2009, this entire country had almost no housing appreciation at that time.
I remember that. Yes,
so
that's right.
So we were definitely dealing with completely different sets of economic and regulatory circumstances at the time than we have today. When you look at today, the entire map is green. And actually, there's a modified map that shows appreciation at its lowest in the country today is 6.6%. So even Nowheresville, USA is getting 6.6% appreciation in the house price, and the high end being over 41% in some really overheated markets. So that map, you can tell, is just completely overheated in housing. If you look at the MBA news link today, they had a couple articles quoting, maybe this is working and it's starting to cool off housing in a few markets. We'll get some more HPI data coming up here soon, I think, for 2022. But it's really telling to see how different the markets are back the last time rates were this high in relation to housing. So I'll turn it over to you guys.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Alice, especially when you look at from a range of 6% to 41%. It really does matter where you live. Also, these boom-bust housing markets where you see the 41%, it's going to be interesting what drives growth and moving forward. I was looking at some of the state demographics. I remember the last time I was on Fox News and with Neil Cavuto, we talked about this. He said, Dave, what are you seeing in some of the trends? And I said, oh, it's really interesting, Neil. That may be one reason why I haven't been invited back for a little while. Is I said, it's really interesting how people are moving out of blue states into red states. And it's just back getting into more tax friendly. I was listening to Governor DeSantis, an interview with him down in Florida. Boy, talk about a common sense. If you own a business, if you're talking to Governor DeSantis, you're talking to the governor of Texas, you're talking to different states that are tax business friendly. There is just such a strong growth in, and these are some of the states that have some of the highest appreciations. So lots of information available to us. I'm glad you pointed out, Alice, FHFA's HPI index in there. And I'm going to go check that out, and I'll see if we can't get Nikki to put it in our show notes, a link to that. So our listeners can just go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, and go find that. But Jack, your thoughts?
Well, David, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, because every other show I get on this soapbox about affordability. And my concern is that with all the regulations we see in so many states, there was one patient that you referred to several shows ago that, 40% of the price of a home these days of a new construction 50% in California is the product of regulation. And so what that causes then is builders to have to build more expensive homes to make money. Look, builders are not in this because they're gracious and gratuitous people. They're in it to make a return on their investment. And you can't build a home, or it's difficult to build a home today, for $200,000 and make enough money to make it worth the while of the builder. So that's why the new average home construction price is well over $400,000 today. And then you fold in on top of that the increase in interest rates, and there you go. We have the affordability issue. And last week we talked about the GSE's focus on manufactured housing to be part of the answer for affordability. And it comes back to stick-built housing right now. It's very challenging for a builder to build a $200,000 home and make enough money when the builder could have built a $440,000 home and double their profit.
Great point. It's so true. And yet we have to address first-time home ownership. Is first-time home ownership always going to be an existing home, or is there a way we can manufacture that? Leave it to Elon Musk to come up with a new solution. He has invested in the company that does a new approach to modular housing. Supposedly, he has sold his huge home, at least 15,000 square feet, and he's moving into one of these smaller homes, modularized. And you look at it, it has every convenience you could ever want in the most modern home. It's not one of those flimsy, put-together, low-end modular homes, not to suggest that modular homes are flimsy or this. I'll put that link in our show notes. You should take a look at what they're doing. It is not assembled. It is unfolded on site. And it comes in the back of a big semi, gets delivered out, and then it gets stretched out. It's not assembling it. It is expanding it. The roof is folded in on top of itself. The one wall folds out, and it just stretches out and comes back together. It is amazing. It can be constructed. And the cost of the home is under $15,000 or less. I texted it off to my daughter who lives up in Dallas, one of the highest home appreciation areas in the market, wants to buy a home. And I'm looking at that. And then, Alice, I look at that and I look at the innovation of a second unit on your property that you can add.
Accessory dwelling unit, ADU.
There. Yep. And what that can do for housing, meeting the need for housing, it's really outstanding. And then also you look at what it does for the value of your home. If you got an investment, if that thing starts going up, you have an accessory dwelling unit on your property?
Dave, I've got to interrupt. I went online and I Googled Elon Musk modular homes. It's a company called Boxable. I'm watching this right now. I mean, literally, they drop this house. You unfold, then lift up. You got a home. You would take 2 hours, 3 hours to get this built.
I know. And what's the cost of, what does that website say?
This one that I'm looking at, this particular model, is $50,000. It's called the Casita. So I'm sure they've got different ones, David. Listeners, Google this. It's the most incredible thing. I mean, I'm just watching literally these guys just raise the walls, lower the ceiling, you're done.
Yeah. And you have a home.
So here's what you got to do. You just got to bulldoze all the old dilapidated housing that's in the inner cities.
Yes.
Right? And have those things, make sure the measurements and the size that they are fit on city lots. And there you go. You've got your solution for rebuilding that 100-year-old housing stock that's sitting in a lot of the cities, 180-year-old housing stock after World War II.
Right.
That's where we need the help, too.
Well, literally, it says it unpacks in an hour, and it's 375 square feet. So for all the listeners out there, including myself, that like to watch the TV show Tiny Home, yes, it is a tiny home, but you've got tall ceilings. It's 9-foot, 6-inch ceilings, windows, doors. Literally, it unpacks in an hour, guys.
And they have them priced down to, I saw some at 10,000 level, but then you modularize it. You could build it and design it and have several stacked together and have different configurations. Here's the point of this. What did Sears used to sell in their catalog? Do you remember what they used to sell?
They had a house.
And Alice, how gorgeous those looked. There were some Victorian homes. Go Google, Jack, while you're doing this, go Google that. What the price of those homes were, Alice?
So you just have to do the math, them dollars in to dollar today, and it's still affordable.
Yep. That's the point. And what it was is that, and it got shipped out from the factory in that one, you got a truckload of lumber being shipped with the right number of nails, with the instructions of where to pound the nails, the whole thing, roofing, the whole house got shipped out to you, drop shipped on there, and many people put those up. And it's this kind of innovation that I get excited about that we have to get into. Very, very exciting stuff. This is the kind of innovation, folks. So I'm thinking about you listing. You guys are saying, well, golly, the mortgage industry, we're having trouble. Maybe some of you ought to get into designing up and creating and looking into affordable housing. This may kick off a whole new interesting thing. Wow. Love it. And the same guy that's going to take us to Mars and privatize the space industry, same individual that brought us electric cars at a mass scale, changed the automotive industry. Very, very interesting stuff. Al, so good to have you with us. Thank you so much. Folks, it's been such a joy to have you here with us, and we'd love your feedback on our new format that we're working with, very similar to what we have been doing, but we're just putting more commentary in on this. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, Form Free, Lender Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, and Success Kit, as well as KnowledgeCube, Mobility, MMI, Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting. Folks, check out all our sponsors on our sponsorship page. It's so good to have you here with us. Look forward to having you back here next week for another podcast. We're producing more and more podcasts each and every week. Stay up on them because we really care about you getting the right information and doing so in an audio format. And we'd love to hear from you. We're so grateful to have you as a listener. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much for being here.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.